The gospel lesson this morning comes from the 9th chapter of the book of Mark, picking up at the 30th verse. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." And then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. Peace and all good. The sermon title this morning comes from St. Francis, who is on my mind because we have just dedicated this baby Francis, who is indeed beloved of the Lord, and whose family we are so blessed to have here at Broadway. We welcome him among us as we welcome Christ. St. Francis is also on my mind because Monday, October 4th, is his feast day, a day traditionally marked with the blessing of the animals. Accordingly, we will be blessing pets of all kinds here at Broadway that evening. I will be blessing little warm puppies, cute kittens, and fish, while my colleagues have graciously volunteered to bless all reptiles, long-beaked birds, and handle all snakes. Mighty biblical of them, thank you. St. Francis blessed the wolf, recognizing that there's a wolf in all of us that needs to be blessed and made tame. There's a child in each of us also. And St. Francis was known for his childlike qualities, which is to say he discovered what it means to live with wonder and in harmony and at peace with all of the earth. Pace bene, he used to say, peace and all good. St. Francis was at peace with all things, and he saw the goodness in all things. As St. Paul said, to the pure, all things are pure, and to St. Francis, it was so. St. Francis saw the good in everyone and in everything, even the big, bad wolf, which he called his brother. Brother is an interesting word in the Bible. The first brothers were Cain and Abel, one of which killed the other out of jealousy and ambition. And it is jealousy and ambition that brings the disciples to a place of argument in the gospel lesson I just read. Jesus is teaching that soon he too will be killed like Abel, out of envy of others. All the while the disciples are arguing on the road which one of them is the greatest. Jesus must have felt like I did a couple of weeks ago when I was dropping off my boys at school. "Be safe and kind," I said to them, as I do every single morning. Just then, one of them suddenly screamed and slugged his backpack right into the frontal lobe of the other. Again, mighty biblical. I paused. "Be safe and be kind," I repeated, "starting with your brother." Of course, the stakes just get bigger and bigger as we get older and older. And I read what James, someone who was once envious of his own brother, Jesus, says today in his epistle. "But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful or false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly and unspiritual and devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind." And I think to myself, that pretty well describes where we are as a nation now. We're out of bitterness and ambition. Some are falsifying the truth, which has already resulted in wickedness and disorder. James is warning us. "Don't be foolish," he says, "but be wise. Purify yourself, be peaceable, gentle, willing to yield without a trace of partiality in you." Does that sound like our politics? "See the facts as they are," James is saying, "and don't let partiality or partisanship deceive you. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace," James says. And we say we want to make peace. We want peace. But that means we have to be peacemakers. Jesus didn't just bless peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Pace bene. Peace and all good. Which brings me back to St. Francis. How did he become who it was he became? He started off with as much ambition and as raucous as anybody else. As the old saying goes, every sinner has a future and every saint has a past. And St. Francis certainly did indeed have a past. He was a fighter and a warrior and was very eager to make a lot of money and have a lot of things. He was ambitious. But somewhere along the way, his own suffering, perhaps as a soldier, put him on a path towards a more peaceable life. And he began to dedicate his life to seeking that peace. And he began to find it. He began to find God in the faces of all manner of people, the poor and the oppressed first, and then later, everyone. And one day he renounced everything he had a right to. He came home and literally stripped down, naked, before his wealthy father. Something it was apparently okay for saints to do before Freud. St. Francis stripped himself. He purified himself. And it opened him to a beautiful way of living in and also seeing the world. So much so that even in the midst of the Crusades, he would make a plea for peace between Christians and Muslims. Sadly, it would be the Christian side which would reject his pleas. But that is a part of what it means to follow in the way of Christ. Jesus was talking about giving his life away, and his disciples were talking about which of them was the greatest and who was going to sit beside his throne when he came into his kingdom. That must have hurt. It hurts to be misunderstood. And so Francis prayed for more grace to understand than to be understood. There are many people I don't understand in this world. Most often my own brother and sister Christians, many of which I know do not understand me either. But God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble, James says. And so we need to be humble enough to come to a place where we will refuse to speak evil of one another. Learn to bless and not curse, make peace and not enmity, and finally see that we are all brothers and sisters and kindred and children in this world according to God. None is great or greater or greatest. None is even good. Only God is good. And we all have God's goodness inside of us. That should humble us all. And it should open us all to one another as well. We are called to be at peace with one another. And in order for that to happen, we have to first be at peace within ourselves. Christ had a peace that James and the disciples at first did not have. They were at war with one another, and they were at war within themselves. There was ambition and jealousy and envy and pride. All of these came from the same deep place of fear and of inadequacy. But then they saw what happened on the cross and how he was so much at peace, even in his agony. And they heard how he prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And in that moment, they saw the depths of God's love for them. Not them only, but for all of the world. They saw the ultimate sacrifice of the peacemaker. And in his love and in his sacrifice and in his peace, they began to find their own peace. "My peace I give to you," he said. "My peace I leave with you." Christ departed, but they left him. But he left them with his peace. And us too. Christ wants to give us peace. And in Christ, we can be at peace with ourselves and with others, even when they are at enmity with us. We can be peacemakers in this world of war and of violence and petty bickering down at the barber shop. But first, we have to let Christ be the peacemaker in our own souls. We have to want Christ's peace, and we have to be willing to accept it. That means it takes a little humility and willingness to set aside our pride and open ourselves up and ask God to grant us the peace that surpasses all understanding and misunderstanding also. Peace is a gift. It is a gift of God wants us as Christians to give to this world. But first, we have to receive it ourselves. We can be peacemakers, but first we have to be peace receivers. Peace be with you, Jesus said. And it was, and it is, and it can be. So I close this morning in the spirit of Christ's peace, which we want and need and wish to receive and also give. And I invite you to share with me in praying the prayer of Saint Francis, which is printed as the Meditation of Silence in the order of worship this morning. Peace and all good. Peace to you. Peace to your friends. Peace to your neighbors. Peace even to your enemies. Peace to Brother Wolf. And peace, that's right, Fran, even to the snakes. Now let us pray together aloud. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. And where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. And where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.